It can get monotonous these long days of training camp. The Eagles get back to action at the NovaCare Complex, and the action picks up as the Eagles look ahead to the Carolina Panthers. And one of the primary jobs of this football team is to tackle the next challenge the Carolina Panthers await, with everyone watching on Thursday night. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. I'm Dave Spadaro. Hope you're all having a great Eagles day. We've got some juicy little nuggets to talk about a couple of days after the first preseason game and 3 days before the second preseason game. We've got some changes for the Eagles defense on the practice field. The rookie class is making its move. There's no question about it. And as a reaction to what he's seen in practice and what he saw in preseason game, number one, defensive coordinator Bill Davis moving a couple of the draft picks into the starting lineup for practice today. Now, this certainly does not mean that they will be starters forever, but the job is theirs right now. And today, both Benny Logan, third-round draft pick, defensive lineman from LSU, he gets the reps with the ones, replacing Cedric Thornton as the starter alongside Isaac Soboaga and Fletcher Cox. Right there on the nose, it was Benny Logan taking some reps. We'll hear from him later today. And then in the defensive secondary, too many missed tackles. And so who gets the nod on Monday at practice? It's fifth-round pick Earl Wolf, the safety from North Carolina State. Wolf playing well on Friday night against the Patriots. Well enough, certainly, to earn a promotion in practice on Monday. Now, again, these young players know that they've got to play well to maintain that status, but the rookie class, what an impact early. Lane Johnson, Zach Ertz, Benny Logan, and now Earl Wolf, all taking reps with the starters. We'll hear from Davis, we'll hear from Logan, and also we'll hear from Earl Wolf later in the show. We're also going to sit down with offensive guard Evan Mathis, one of the best at his position in the NFL. Who would have thought that a few years ago? Comes to Philadelphia and resurrects his career. And the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, stops by to talk about what else? His love for the Philadelphia Eagles and just where he thinks this team is positioned as we get into week two of this preseason schedule. Let's get you caught up in all the day's headlines. Chris McPherson doing so with the headlines of the day.
Thanks, Dave, and we'll kick off today's headlines with a pleasant sight from the practice field. Running back LeSean McCoy is ready to dominate once again. He returned on Sunday for his mini bobblehead day promotion at Lincoln Financial Field, and he's back in action here. Good to go moving forward. Also on the injury front, Jason Peters is still only taking part in individual drills, but he stressed that he will be ready for the season opener come September 9th. He's just being cautious with the hamstring injury. Nick Foles, we know, will start at quarterback this Thursday. He took the reps on Sunday. Michael Vick was the one who worked with the first team offense on Monday. And the Eagles getting physical in practice, working on some individual tackling drills early during the session. You're seeing the linebackers, guys like D'Amico Ryans, squaring up against running backs like LeSean McCoy. So good to see that they're stressing the fundamentals, but it's also something they've worked on previously in practice. Coming up later on in the show, guard Evan Mathis will join us in studio, and we'll also hear from the coordinators Pat Shermer and Bill Davis. They'll update the progress and what they liked from Friday night's preseason opener. And speaking of the preseason, the Eagles are back in action already again on Thursday when they host the Carolina Panthers at Lincoln Financial Field. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m. You can watch locally on 6ABC, and we'll have coverage after the game on the postgame show presented by Rico. That's going to do it for your headlines today. Let's send it back to Dave Spadaro.
Thank you very much, Chris. The offensive line will be one of the features of the show as we focus in on a group that is off to an excellent start in this 2013 training camp period. The offense showing some really good things on Friday night, more than 450 yards total offense. Of course, the early touchdown drive first from Michael Vick, the big touchdown throw to DeSean Jackson, and then Nick Foles a few possessions later leading another touchdown drive. Bryce Brown capping things off with his TD run. Offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur meeting the media after practice today and catching everybody up on the details of a good start for that side of the football.
On the plays where the quarterbacks had run-pass options in the preseason game, how do you think they did with their decision-making?
Well, if you're talking about the read part of the zone read stuff, I thought they did a good job. You know, there's some plays, of course, where we're reading, whether we're going to hand the ball off or do something on the perimeter. And then there are, of course, other plays where he just takes off and runs, where maybe he had, you know, dropped back, saw something, or, you know, got a little pressure and then scrambled. And I think in both situations, those guys did a good job.
How much in those situations when you're pushing tempo, how much is it just on the quarterback and how much is Chip kind of talking to them in the headset, directing what they need to be doing, the look of the defense?
Yeah. Well, when we call a play, and of course pace is a big component and pushing the tempo is a big component of it, we count, when we call the play, we've repped them numerous times, and we trust that everybody on the field makes good decisions. So when the play goes in, you know, typically – when I was calling them, you could give maybe a hint or two to what's going on, but for the most part, the guys are out there making decisions and running the plays we call.
What do you think so far has been the biggest progression for your quarterbacks in this offense?
Well, there's some new things we're learning. I would say that's the same for me. You know, it's been very mentally stimulating for me, you know, helping Coach Kelly implement his offense here at the Eagles. And so I think the players are going through that as well. Some of the things we're asking the quarterbacks to do, they haven't done in the past, and I think they're really working hard to do what we ask, and I think they've made great progress here through the preseason and, of course, through the first game.
Is there anybody on Friday night who stood out on tape maybe more than they have in practice?
It's hard to say. I think, you know, when you look at that game the other night, you know, when you look at it from a team perspective, we didn't win the game, you know, so everybody that's playing in the game is charged with making the plays necessary to win it. So that's number one. Number two, I think when you look at it from a training camp perspective, as we're building up to the beginning of the regular season, you know, I think there's a lot there that we can build on. I think everybody that played, and that's why I don't want to single anybody out, everybody that played made some good plays, and then there were plenty of errors that we all had to clean up, players and coaches. And so that's the benefit of these preseason games. But from a team-building standpoint, I think what's important is everybody that played in the game and coached in the game's got to do one or two things more better to win it.
On the plays where they're deciding between, you know, a screen on the perimeter, handing the ball off, what are some of the keys they're looking at? Is it how many guys are in the box? Is there a key defender? Are there certain things that quarterbacks are looking for?
It depends. You know, it depends on what the play call is. But, you know, there's times when they have the ability to hand the ball off to the running back, and then there's times when either the defense takes it away or the numbers are right where you can throw it.
Okay. Thanks.
That's it, huh? Holy smokes.
And that is offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur talking about the offense. We will further our conversation about the offense, specifically the offensive line, when we return to Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. On the other side, we go into the trenches. We're coming right back.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are. On the road, and we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
The offensive line played very well in his debut on Friday night against the New England Patriots, and that is a source of, some confidence for the Eagles' offense. They put this thing together over the last several years, and it all fell apart in 2012. Injuries to Jason Peters, to Jason Kelsey, to Todd Harriman, a step back in progress from Danny Watkins, a first-round draft pick in 2011. And by season's end, the offensive line, a bunch of mixed parts on the field together, and the results were not very pretty. But the Eagles welcoming back their injured players to good health, adding Lane Johnson in the first round of the draft. And on Friday, that unit, minus Peters at left tackle, played a really strong game, an encouraging game, something to build on. We take a look in depth at the offensive line, starting in the middle, the brain of this offensive line, the nerve center, if you will, Jason Kelsey in his third year from Cincinnati, outstanding leader of the offensive line, played his first game since his knee injury last year, suffered against the Baltimore Ravens, tore it up in week two of the regular season last year, back on the practice field, wearing braces on both of his knees and feeling great. Good job for Kelsey on Friday night as the leader of this offensive line. Julian Vandervelde, Dallas Reynolds in a battle for that backup job. At this point, Vandervelde has the advantage over Reynolds. We look now to the offensive line interior positions, the offensive guards, and this has an opportunity to be a really strong twosome with veterans Evan Mathis at the left position and Todd Harriman's at the right guard spot. Now, Harriman's, of course, has moved around from the tackle spots to the guard spots, and he teams with Mathis, who has really come into his own since the Eagles signed him in 2011 as an unrestricted free agent. You remember that class of unrestricted free agents. Who would have thought that out of that group, Evan Mathis would be the one to really shine and to stay in Philadelphia as not only a starter, but a star? Alan Barber, listed as a left guard, started at left tackle on Friday night, gave the Eagles some reps and played well at that position. Eagles looking for somebody who can swing from the left side to the right side, from the right side to the left side, with Dennis Kelly out because of a back injury. Barber played well, offering some encouragement and some confidence. Also elevating his play this year, Watkins, who has taken well to Jeff Stoutland, working together with Stoutland back to basics in terms of fundamentals. The Eagles pleased with the progress made by Danny Watkins. So those are your interior positions, and we look for others to perhaps offer some competition and some depth along the offensive line. Now we get to the edges of the offensive line, and if all goes according to plan, the Eagles will be as athletic as any group in the league, led by Jason Peters on the left side. Peters not practicing at full strength yet, but when he is on the field coming back from that Achilles tendon injury, Peters has been outstanding. Athletic, strong, explosive, powerful, sure in his technique, an excellent left side protector, a Pro Bowl player in his prime. Lane Johnson at right tackle, the first round draft pick, having an outstanding debut on Friday night, has looked good since the first day of practice in an Eagles uniform. Currently, Johnson out for a day or two after the birth of his child. But the Eagles looking again for depth there. And the key player, number 67, Dennis Kelly, out with a back injury. No timetable on his return. Michael Bamiro signed after the draft, still trying to find his way late into the mix with Stoutland. Needs to work on his development of his body, of his technique, getting into NFL shape mentally and physically. So Bamiro, a project at this point, a developmental player for the Eagles' offensive line. Figure that the Eagles will keep 9 or 10 offensive linemen, and this certainly has a chance to be a strength. Ed Wang still injured. Nick Purcell getting some good reps along with Matt Tobin. And Watkins out today in practice with a concussion. We'll keep you updated on his progress and his availability for Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. All right, the offensive line, defensive line going at it today in practice. Chris McPherson handling the quote-unquote play-by-play. It's double-team blocking two offensive linemen against one D lineman. Let's go to the practice field from today's practice.
All right, folks, Chris McPherson here taking a look at some O-line, D-line individual drills. You're seeing a little pole blocking there. Seeing the D lineman working at the point of attack. We're going to switch over here to the right side of the field. You have Matt Coppa, who's been playing tackle, along with Michael Bamiro. Coppa working inside there. Benny Logan, who saw some reps during Sunday's practice at first team nose tackle, performed very well. Earned praise from head coach Chip Kelly. Statland barking some instructions to his players. See some technique work going on. General manager Harry Roseman also keeping an eye in the background as well. We have center Jason Kelsey, guard Matt Tennant. And D-lineman there, Antonio Dixon, a welcome sight for him after he had been battling a hamstring injury. He was back on the field Sunday as well. Good to see him out there for back-to-back days. Here we're going to see Nick Purcell and Matt Tobin, the offensive lineman working here. Jason Pierce keeping a watch, not taking part in these drills. Rookie David King in that drill. Pierce declaring on Sunday that he will be ready for the season opener against the Washington Redskins, just being cautious with the hamstring injury. We're going to go back to the right side. Now we're going to see Todd Harriman, who will have to work again at tackle due to the injuries at the position. You see Matt Tennant pulling out there. Clifton gathers all 6 feet, eight of them, working as a defensive lineman. Going back to Harriman's having to work at tackle with Lane Johnson, not back from Oklahoma. Was with his wife Chelsea. Congrats to them on the birth of their first child, David Jace. And we're seeing Nate Mankin, Julian Vandervelde, and Dallas Reynolds among the young players. And that's going to do it for the O-line D-line here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Dave Spadaro with you here. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. Want to let you know that our next installment of The Journey airs on Wednesday. And The Journey is something that we are very proud of. We chronicle six players and their journey through training camp. Ifeanyi Moma, Chris Polk, Jason Kelsey, Jordan Poyer, Derek Carrier, and Earl Wolf. Wolf, all of a sudden, getting reps with the number ones. Chris Polk starting the preseason opener. Jason Kelsey in the starting lineup as well, and a good mix of some veterans and some rookies trying to make an impression in Camp Kelly to make this 53-man roster. When we return, we go deep into the offensive line. Left guard Evan Mathis joins us in studio. Don't go anywhere. Mathis next on Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Welcome you into the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by Evan Mathis, Eagles left guard. Time to get into the trenches just a little bit with my man over here. How's it going?
It's going real well.
Yeah?
Going right through training camp. I think the team's picking up everything at a decent speed. Everybody's buying in, doing pretty well.
Fun to get out there on Friday night, the offense up and down the field?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to get out there and execute, see what this offense can do in a live game scenario. We definitely found out exactly where our starting point is, what we need to work on, what we need to continue to improve on. But it was fun to get out there and do it.
It was interesting, Evan, being down on the sidelines and watching the reaction from the offensive line. A preseason game, which doesn't count in the standings, guys jumping around really into it. I mean, genuinely, and I think Jason Kelce, because he'd been hurt, Todd, everybody was really fired up to be out on the field.
Yeah, it was. It's been a while since, especially this unit has been back together as an offensive line. And it's, you got a bunch of guys who have a passion for the game and love doing it. And preseason or not, we're out there and we're having a great time.
It was a bit of a tease for fans to see what this offense can do. What do you think the potential of this offense is?
Well, I don't want to give away all our game plan secrets and everything, but I'm excited about the potential this offense has, the potential this team has. We just got to keep making progress every single day. We have an incredible coaching staff that can apply a lot of tools and techniques for us. We just need to learn how to use them, buy in, and keep, like I said, just improve every day.
For you, Howard Mudd was a great thing for your career. Great situation for you. Tapped into what you do well. Jeff Stoutland as well. So what's different with what they're teaching you?
They have different techniques and different tools, but this is still football. A lot of the stuff's not drastically different. There were some things that Stout started teaching that I was definitely relieved to hear, because in other places it wasn't techniques that I was fond of. Mm-hmm. But Howard's and Stout's, their techniques are things that work well. They both know what they're doing.
It's interesting, in those other places, those techniques, not that those techniques are bad techniques, but it does allow a player, when you find the right system and the coach and you are on the same page, it really allows you to be the best player you can be. And I think your career is a complete example of that. The last couple of years here, one of the best guards in the league, after really not getting that kind of recognition prior.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to situation, fit, scenario, timing, luck. There's a lot of different things that go into it. When I came to Philly in 2011, things lined up for me personally. And there's no looking back now. Just continue to get better and better.
You're really acclimated into the whole vibe of the city, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very comfortable here. I love it. Love the fans.
What is it about it, Evan, aside from the football, that's made you feel so welcome?
I think I can relate to the fan base really well. Just a true desire just to must win. I usually compare it to what it's like down in Alabama, you know, when I played for the Crimson Tide. Very passionate fan bases, both cities.
And they like that you are out there, that you're communicating with them via your Twitter, the media that you do. I just, again, it's like it's part and parcel of why you're doing so well in the field, I believe.
It might be. I'm just having fun. I'm just living my dream, doing what I always wanted to do, playing football. I know as a kid I was a big fan of the game, and if I had the opportunity to talk to athletes on Twitter or meet athletes or anything like that, I would definitely appreciate that. So, you know, I remember back the old me, what he wanted, and I try to give back to the fans whatever I can.
How do you get through this whole training camp regimen and the humdrum staccato approach of this day-to-day thing?
Just take it day by day. It's not this, the way Chip Kelly's doing it, it's not that bad compared to what a lot of these people here have been through. It's not that bad. They do a good job of making sure that your body is recovering. They do a good job taking care of you. But the training camp is training camp. When you're a football player, a month of your life every single year is usually dedicated to that. And it can become a grind, it become a Groundhog Day type situation. But you just take it one day at a time, try to get better than yesterday, and move forward.
Does not going to Lehigh at all impair camaraderie? I mean, how do you establish that and build chemistry and come together as a team when you're not?
I think we're around each other more here than we were down at Lehigh. We're here all day. I think down at Lehigh we had some windows in there. You could go break or take a nap or whatever. But here, you have plenty of opportunity to build camaraderie around each other all day long.
Did you three practices at Lincoln Financial Field, 30,000. 21,000, 28,000 fans to come out and watch practice. That to me is amazing.
No, it's great. It just shows, you know, the support for this team is unbelievable. You know, it's great. You can get that many people in the stadium for a practice.
Right, for practice.
Practice.
Hey, Evan, we got a game Thursday night. What's the next step here? What in terms of you getting ready to peak for the regular season? How does it work for you?
We'll put another good work day in today, mm-hmm. and then focus on recovery and game plan. Make sure that we're primed to hit the field. And the way I approach each preseason game personally is to act like I'm playing a regular season game, so I can get used to that. And when it comes time for the real thing, that I have no questions, no doubts, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Do you enjoy playing preseason games?
Yeah, I do. It's not like you have to play the entire game usually. It's a good chance to shake the rust off and get some live practice against another opponent.
You've always been a major workout guy. I know that that's part of your world outside of football. And the way Chip and this staff does it, it's certainly not conventional to what I've seen before. How have you embraced that? Some of the different ways of training, the different ways of lifting, preparing your body for the season?
My thoughts on all the stuff that they're doing, I'm welcoming it all with open arms, because they're telling you there's a reason for every single thing that they do. They don't just tell you to do it just because they said so. If they tell you to do something, if it's a little different, not something you're used to, they'll tell you why you're doing it and you understand.
Mm-hmm. And then you do it and you feel better?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it's going well then.
It's going real well.
This training camp for Evan Mathis, everybody, is an A+. All right? So much, for the most part.
For the most part, A+, sure.
Yeah. And you get to go home, instead of staying in a...
Yeah, good to see my family.
...crappy little dorm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good. Thanks, man. Appreciate you stopping by. Busy
Anytime.
Day for you today. Evan Mathis in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, in celebration of over 75 years of our Government Employees Insurance Company,
or GEICO, as most of you know it, I propose savings for everyone.
I'm talking hundreds here, and furthermore...
Breaking news, the GEICO is demanding free pudding.
And political parties that are actual parties, with cake and presents.
No, that was good. It's too bad nobody could hear me.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Good notes. That's where you use that sideline a bit.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here, Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. We welcome your phone calls, 215-320-5170. And the topic is, hey, we've seen one preseason game. Some good things, maybe some not so good things. Eagles fans, what's on your minds? Give me a call, 215-320-5170. Offense was really good on Friday night. Defense had some holes. And we will hear from Bill Davis, defensive coordinator, very shortly. And he was asked some tough questions today about the scheme and about the tackling and about the promotion of third-round draft pick Benny Logan, first-team reps at defensive tackle today, and fifth-round draft pick Earl Wolf making his move, first-team reps at the safety spot today in practice. Now, do they hold those positions? Do you see the Eagles going into the season with Patrick Chung and Earl Wolf as your starters at the safety spots? And Sopo Aga and Fletcher Cox flanking Benny Logan. Interesting, interesting. You know, a lot of Eagles fans coming out to these open practices. There's another one on Saturday at Lincoln Financial Field, the fourth of five in this summer period. We've had 30,000, 20,000, another 28,000 on Sunday. Had a good group of fans here at the NovaCare Complex. Everybody very enthusiastic, excited about the season ahead. And Along the way, we couldn't resist asking some of these fans about some of the good moments, the great moments, the memorable moments of Eagles seasons past. We go now to the fans talking about some of their memorable games.
Mike, do you have a moment that stands out as your favorite as being an Eagles fan?
First Monday Night Football game, Randall Cunningham right in front of us. I sat in 246 right in the end zone and watching him get hit and stand up on one arm and throw the Jimmy Giles right in front of us for a touchdown. My fondest memories are with Buddy Ryan because it just changed the whole tempo in Philadelphia. I mean, everybody loved football, defense. You know, he was a tough guy. Made it fun.
That was a great defense. It was just a lot of fun watching those guys play, Reggie and Jerome and even Randall running around. It was just crazy. It was the best time.
Being at the actual championship game when we beat Dallas to go to the Super Bowl, that was a tremendous time.
I know everyone is going to say this, but of course the miracle at the Meadowlands with DeSean Jackson, and it seemed like we were down by like 30 points, but then in the fourth quarter, Vic was just on point. DeSean dropped the ball, he picked it up, and he was just going and going, and then you were like, going to the end zone, and we were like, no, no, no. You know, we were ready for overtime, and so when that happened, it was awesome. In fact, I have that picture on my wall in my kids' room.
I have to say, it was the last time that we were in the Super Bowl. There was just such a sense of pride to see that we had finally done it and to know that the city was behind our team and that thinking that we had our moment to shine, there was a lot of pride. And no matter what, no matter how the game turned out, you still had to have a lot of Philly pride in that day.
Well, thank you very much for that, Chris. Let's go to the telephones now, 215-320-5170. We start in Southwest Florida. Our good buddy Gary joins us on Inside Training Camp. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
Boy, it's so good to talk to you after all this time and finally get some football.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and what do you think of this team, Gary? You've seen a game.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's a good thing I don't have a faint heart. I'll tell you, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of new parts, and it seemed like the defense started out where they left off a little bit, and that made me, you know, I was like, oh, no. The offense, man, that's a team to watch, isn't it?
Well, Gary, let me ask you this question. Are you, in your mind, do you go into this thing thinking that it's going to be a quick fix for the Eagles? Or are you taking the long-range approach that it's going to take maybe a draft or two, a couple of free agency periods to get the Eagles back into the hunt? What's your approach?
I'll tell you the truth. I'm not ready to wait. You know, I'm an Eagle fan a long time. I see it as, what can you do for me now? Okay, if they're rebuilding and they're saying they are. But if you listen to Roseman and them talk, I mean, they're saying, hey, we want to win this year. So that's what I'm going to back that.
Yeah, I mean, and Gary, thank you for the call. There is no question that the Eagles want to win now. And I think they're going to win some games here. I have really no sense yet of just how good this team is. I recognize that on defense, they put just 2% of their game plan in. You know, one blitz, I think I saw. I think they're going to be blitzing. I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they want to mix up the coverages, mix up the fronts. That said, the defense has to be more aggressive running to the football. And look, the coaching staff reacted in a way today by promoting two rookies to first-team reps. They were not pleased. Offense, love the way it looked on Friday night. Jose in Georgia joins us. Hey, Jose.
What up, Dave?
How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm really excited about this Eagles team now. Disappointing last year. I don't think we do much. I think we do much better. And I'm really happy because, from last year, just like very little points scored, and it was very hard to like score points.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that this year, this Eagles team is going to be able to put 20-plus points hopefully every game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I and thanks for the call, Jose. They it was very vanilla. Now, there was an up-tempo mentality, a no-huddle mentality to this offense, but from a formation standpoint and from the routes that were run, the plays that were called, really basic stuff. So there's a lot more to come with the offense. Now, does the offense have to score 28 points a game to win? You hope not. But the defense has to play better than the way it played on Friday. We're staying in Atlanta. Wes in Atlanta joins us. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good to see you at the game on Friday.
Yes, tell me about it. Did you enjoy it?
Did a good job. You know, maybe you're on the next Madden. I don't know.
I don't think so.
So you asked for some things that we saw that we liked.
Yeah.
I liked that we had a quality draft last year. If you look at Fletcher Cox, Vinny Curry, both had good games.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what we got out of last
Well,
year
and Brandon, I thought Brandon Boykin West had,
Brandon
had
Boykin,
a good game.
Right, Bryce Brown.
But I think,
I mean, it was
yeah,
a quality
Michael Kendricks.
Draft.
I think Michael Kendricks is going to be a fine football. The touchdown pass that was thrown in his direction was, boy, it was a perfect pass. He had
good coverage on it though. His hand was right there. I mean, it's Tom Brady though, you know.
It makes you ache for the quote-unquote franchise quarterback. And
Agreed.
Michael Vick will be that guy, or Nick Foles or Matt Barkley. The days of Donovan McNabb delivering wins.
Right.
And watching Brady for 2 days in practice and then the game, it makes you realize that the truly elite quarterbacks, they bring it every day. And,
right.
and Brady certainly did.
And the last thing I saw that I really liked was Salas. I think two great catches.
Yeah.
He shows a lot of promise. I can't wait to see what he does.
I mean, this is now's the really the critical time for Greg Salas. And thanks for the call, Wes. Greg Salas has gotten to the point where he is now kind of being recognized. You know, people know a little bit about Greg Salas. People have some high expectations for Greg Salas. And listen, he was a high draft pick. Had a good rookie season in New England, then kind of faded last year from the Patriots. He's in the mix for that fifth wide receiver spot, no doubt about it. David in Pennsylvania joins us on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. David, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I got two questions today.
Yeah, can you turn your speaker down, please?
Good, man. How are you? My speaker on?
Yeah, just turn that down just a little bit.
Hold on.
Okay. All right, you're okay. Ready. Here we go.
Okay, I got two questions.
Okay.
How much players can go on the practice squad? And if Vic has an awesome season, like I think he's going to have, do you think they'll re-sign him or are you going to go as a free agent?
Let's first answer the practice squad question. The number of players, is that what you're asking, the number of players allowed on the practice squad?
Yes.
I believe that is eight. That maximum number is eight, yes.
Okay.
And then Vic, I mean, if he has a big season, sure. He's got a one-year deal here. And thanks for the call, David. One-year deal here. I thought he looked great on Friday night. Look at those calm feet staying in the pocket. All of a sudden, he's sitting there going, wow, I've got a pocket to throw from. I didn't have that last year. So, if Michael Vick gets that kind of time and this offense is as imaginative as we think it will be, and first of all, Michael's got to win the job. Nick Foles gets the start this week. Hey, sky's the limit for whoever plays quarterback. All right, defensive coordinator Bill Davis meets the media. Everybody wants to talk to Davis. And the question is, what does this defense need to do to improve the tackling, taking the football away? Tenacity, defensive coordinator Bill Davis on the other side. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, in celebration of over 75 years of our Government Employees Insurance Company,
or GEICO, as most of you know it,
I propose savings for everyone.
I'm talking hundreds here, and furthermore...
Breaking news, the Gecko is demanding free pudding.
And political parties that are actual parties, with cake and presents.
Nah, that was good. Just too bad nobody could hear me.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today. Get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues. The new U.S. News and World Report rankings are in. And of the top 10 hospitals ranked best in orthopedics in the nation, only one is in Philadelphia. This one, Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
Defense, defense, defense. What do the Eagles do to turn things around after a tough start on Friday night against the Patriots? Defensive coordinator Bill Davis met the media after practice, and this was after making a decision to promote Earl Wolf, fifth-round draft pick, to the starting spot, at least today, just today. This does not mean that Earl Wolf's starting. It means that he took first-team reps today, along with third-round draft pick Benny Logan at defensive tackle. Davis asked about that and a whole lot more about his defense after practice today.
Some of the things that stood out for you from that preseason game, especially early?
Well, first of all, we went in there knowing that whatever it was, however we played defensively, was going to be a true indicator of where we are today at this point in time. We would have hoped that it would look better than it looked. I was hoping to be further along at this point, but the film is the truth. The game tells you everything you need to know about where we are. We've got a lot of work to do in tackling still. I was impressed with the effort to the ball and the way guys are running. The assignments, the techniques were sporadic, and that's led to a lot of the big plays. And in order to be a great defense, we've got to make sure that we can fit together as a team and know how each individual's technique is attached to the other techniques which are attached. And we're still in the early stage of that learning curve. It was the first time the lights were turned on, and we played for real. The speed of the game gets a little faster. Your techniques are that much more important. Your eye placement is that much more important. Your tackling is that much more important, and we came up short in that game, but it is where we are. It's a starting point. It's not an ending point, but we have a lot of work to do.
Why did Nate Allen lose the number one, working with the number one? You may have answered it, but why did Nate lose that job?
He hasn't. At what point are you talking?
Okay, so Earl Wolf has moved up, correct?
Yes, but we're in a rotation in the training camp practices, so that is the rotation of the secondary because of the battle is so intense that every day we rotate who's with the ones, and we continue to work and tweak it as we go. Now, as we're getting closer to the season, I'm looking at different combinations of safeties and how they interact with each other. So that is not a demotion for Nate. It's just the way the rotation is right now. As we continue to move forward, we continue to evaluate, and the starters are not in place at all.
Okay, so Earl said that he was listed with the number ones today. Is that part of the rotation?
That is true. Yeah. The rotation, he was. Every day the DBs have a different listing of a rotation in a room. And all Earl was talking about is today he is at the top of the rotation. Tomorrow he will not be. And it has nothing to do with somebody beating out somebody yet. As we're moving forward in this preseason games, that'll start happening. That'll start settling in on the core players, but nobody's been demoted.
Because in the last game you have made changes because of the way, and I know it's only one game, yes, where the defense played the last game.
There have been no changes made because of the game. The changes are a work in the practice schedule of the rotation. All right, so when we hit the game, we'll sit down as a staff and decide later on who's going to start in that game. But right now, all Earl Wolf did was start today in practice like he would have anyway.
The strength of your defense right now, the young linemen?
Again, it's one game evaluation, but they started off very well.
This was asked before, but Kerry Williams yesterday said that nobody really fears this defense and that it needs to be tougher. Do you agree with that?
Every defense in the NFL is striving to be a feared, respected defense. And the only way you can get to where you're feared and respected is by playing great defense, being able to get off blocks and make tackles, to stop the run, to have a pass rush that they're afraid of, a blitz package, to have lockdown covers, cover corners and safeties. So where you're playing great defense, to swarm to the ball, to have big hits and tackle, that's what puts fear in people. And the only way you get to that is by playing the individual techniques and learning the defense and playing together. So it's the same goal for every NFL defense. There's not one defense I've been on that hasn't talked about wanting to be feared. The only way to get to it is not through words and talking about being tough. It's simply about putting the pads on people and being great at your trade and your craft.
Do all of them have
it? We're working toward that. I'm going to say no. We don't collectively have the mindset that needs to be where it is. And it's a daily you don't just talk about it and say the words and all of a sudden everybody has the attitude. The way you get that confidence in your defense and in your techniques is by having success during the games. And you can tell we did not have that success in that game. So we have got to work and tighten it down and get better at the individual techniques, one position at a time, to where we collectively have the success to give you the confidence to have that attitude that we're growing toward. Nobody wants us to be more feared defense than the guys in our locker room. Nobody wants that swagger more than the guys. But it's not words that get you there. It's putting it together on the field on during the games that's going to get us there.
And that's defensive coordinator Bill Davis, a full video of his entire press conference available in just a little bit on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Check it out. Wide-ranging questions, honest answers, and certainly the demand for better play from his defense in preseason game number 2. When we return to Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity, the voice of the Eagles, Merle Reese, joins me in studio. We'll come right back.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Chances are, you're not made of money. So don't overpay for motorcycle insurance. Geico. See how much you could save.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
Hey Eagles fans, I'm Irving Fryer, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
It may be the preseason, but Merle Reese in regular season form with one preseason game under his belt in the radio booth with Mike Quick. He now joins us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Hello, Merrill.
Hello, David.
How
back
are you?
To work. I am absolutely thrilled to be back in and
in the groove,
the first
in the,
game.
A little bit of a groove here now.
With a game behind us and a game ahead this week, I can't wait for Thursday night to all see right, more.
As we sit here on Monday, give me your assessment of where you think the Eagles are.
I'm going to tell you something. There's been a lot said about evaluating the offense, evaluating the defense. I was impressed that for the first time in an early preseason game, I didn't see guys jumping off sides
right.
every down.
Right.
I didn't see penalty flag after penalty flag. It was neat. It was two well-coached teams. I mean, there were a lot of positives to take out of this.
Two penalties in the first half, one against Russell Shepard, which was just a terrible offensive pass interference call. But you're right. The Eagles got their plays off. They adjusted to the tempo that Chip Kelly wanted them to adjust to. So let's start with that side of the ball, the offense. And clearly the quarterback story is the big one. Both Nick Foles and Michael Vick and Matt Barkley playing well.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we all say it's the quarterback battle and that's the thing you look at. What stands out to me before we even talk about QB is the fact that for the first time in a long time, the offensive line is really, really solid, and that's without their best player, Jason Peters, who still is a little bit nicked. But to see them present that kind of protection, I mean, you can talk all about what went wrong last year, but it all started when you lost three of the starting offensive linemen. So here you have the number one draft choice, Lane Johnson. He comes in, and I understand he probably graded out higher than anybody.
Yeah.
So that is a real plus, and I'm extremely encouraged. So whether it's Nick or whether it's Michael, either one is going to prosper behind this offensive line. And you know they have great running backs.
Yeah, and Jason Peters did not play. We'll see if he's ready to go Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers, who attack, and we'll get into them in just a bit here. Some of the things that caught my eye about this offense, Bryce Brown playing behind Chris Polk at the halfback
position.
For now.
And that's a training camp battle every day. But they're both good.
Yeah.
They're both NFL backs.
Would you make this a run personality-based offense?
I don't know. Chip always says it depends what works and against whom. If you can come out and run the football and pass by setting it up on the run rather than vice versa, which is done in the traditional West Coast offense, I think it's great because it shortens the game and it keeps your offense on the field and you grind it out and you do some things and it opens up the passing game. If you have a running game that's productive, boy, then Vic or Foles can go to town.
Yeah, and when they go deep, they're going to go to number 10, DeSean Jackson, who Merrill, I think, is playing at the highest level he's played at since very early in his career. He seems like a different person, more energetic, happier, more involved in the offense, a variety in his game.
Yeah, he's playing well every day at practice. So he's excited. He's enjoying what he's doing out there. And the most important thing, and I keep my fingers crossed, is that he is healthy right now. And he's a little guy. You just want to make sure that he stays healthy. I would limit him in the next few weeks. Now, you know he won't play against the Jets in the final preseason game. I'd limit him to a handful of snaps in these next two games.
Merrill, as you're sitting in the booth on Friday night watching the offense play, what's going through your mind? What differences did you notice from the 14 years with Andy Reid in the preseason, we know, and this is just vanilla with Chip Kelly. Mm-hmm. But what was going through your mind?
As I said to begin with, number one, how meticulous they were when they came to the line of scrimmage. There didn't seem to be any hesitation. Vic was positive and he moved quickly. The decision-making was very, very quick. And the same with Foles. I'm saying Vic comes down, and boom, bam, and he hits DeSean Jackson. If I'm Nick Foles and I'm competing for this job, and Vic comes out and he's Superman, as he was, I'm thinking, oh, what a start I'm off to. No, Nick comes back and he gets hit from behind and loses the football, which was a very borderline fumble, I think, but then comes back on the next series and runs the read and react stuff, the rollouts, the accurate passing to perfection. Mm-hmm. So I'm impressed with that.
Who has an advantage in your mind in that battle?
I'm going to be honest with you. Mike Quick and I talked about it on the air. I'd give them both an A and say incomplete. Let's see more Thursday.
And we will with Nick Foles starting against the Carolina Panthers. Big story this week, the defense just not doing the job tackling, not being physical enough, something the coaches will emphasize in preseason game number two. Your reaction, or in some cases, as you watch around town, overreaction to the defense?
See, I do think it's an overreaction because you're talking about a new defense, new things, different people in different positions, new coaches. So it's not going to happen in one performance. It's going to take a while. The thing that came to my mind, though, is everybody's talking about the fact that they don't tackle much at training camp. And they say they've got to tackle more. I don't think their mistakes, Dave, were in executing tackles. I think it was getting into position to make tackles. I think they missed in their angles to the ball carrier more than just let guys go in and out of their holes.
And how do you correct that? I mean,
with practice, by putting them each day in positions, going a lot of film study, let them see the errors that they made, tell them where they have to take a direct route to the ball carrier. That stuff, that's coaching. And there are a lot of talented players on this team who can make defensive plays.
Merrill, a couple of weeks into training camp here, one preseason game down. Who's, that maybe we don't know about, who's kind of jumped out at you that, say, this guy has a chance to make the team and make an impact on this football team? Anybody come to mind?
Well, there are the obvious guys that you see every day. The free agent, somebody like Connor Barwin. Mm-hmm. You know that he's going to be an impacting linebacker. Lane Johnson, we know he's the number one draft choice, but he will solidify that offensive line. I'll tell you what, a guy who I gave practically no thought to, who basically fits into the category of a journeyman, Alan Barbre, starting on the left side, he was more than adequate. He did a good job.
Agreed.
So guys like that. And then there's guys like Damian Square. I mean, what did I know from him? Chris McCoy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of my personal favorites, because he's such a terrific young man, so full of personality and love for the game. Vinnie Curry came out, and he was just flying around the quarterback. I love Vinnie
and
Curry.
And it's interesting. The thought has been that it would be a difficult transition to a 3-4 for Curry, who is a 4-3 defensive end. He was drafted in the second round to be a 4-3 defensive end. Does he have a chance to get more reps here?
I would think so. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to Billy Davis about it, but he's gained weight, so he now fits the specifications of a defensive end. You're not going to drop him back into a linebacker spot, but from the first view against, obviously, a backup bunch of Patriots, he looked very good.
Merrill, thoughts early as we look ahead to Thursday. What do you want to see against the Panthers? And is this the game that the quarterback position, there's some separation created?
Maybe, but it could go down to the third game. It's not going to go down to the fourth.
Okay.
Because I think the starting quarterback watches the fourth preseason game. But I want to see more from Vic and more from Foles, and I want to see the first units play a little bit longer, maybe an entire first half.
And I want to see if Lane Johnson is as dominating as he was in his first game. He was dominant at the right tackle position.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Yeah, it's a good start. He played well. Ertz, I love. Benny Logan looks like he's coming on strong.
Oh, I'll give you another guy. Another guy, because they used him a little as a wideout, and that was Clay Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's very difficult to tell, Dave, because you're going up against backup groups of Patriots when you get into the second half. But Clay Harbor made some catches, and he is very fast. They've got four tight ends who can really contribute to this team.
Well, we shall see how it all unfolds here. As the preseason moves along, game number two on Thursday night, Merrill and Mike in the booth on the Eagles Radio Network. And we thank you once again for joining us
here. Thank you. Can't wait till Thursday.
Merrill Reese in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
How to awesome a road game. Step one. Work the Saturday shift. Step 2, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step 3, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
And we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. It's time to get to some of the player reactions after this Monday practice. I want to remind you that the Journey returns to the airwaves on Wednesday, and we'll get some reaction from the first preseason game, a little look ahead to Thursday's game. The Journey, once again, Ifeanyi Moma, Chris Polk, Jason Kelce, Jordan Poyer, Derek Carrier, and Earl Wolf. They chronicle their steps taken in this Chip Kelly training camp here in Philadelphia. Great piece, great work done by the staff here. It is a series that you really want to check out. It's kind of our version of Hard Knocks, Philadelphia Eagles style. So make sure you check out The Journey. The next installment on Wednesday, and of course, it is available in our multimedia section on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. All right, practice today, a couple of notable moves. The Eagles making some changes on defense. Third-round draft pick Benny Logan, fifth-round draft pick Earl Wolf taking reps with the starters. We begin with Benny Logan, defensive tackle, LSU product, wore that number 18, played in the very best, most competitive conference in the land. So the tempo of the game, not a surprise at this level in the preseason. Benny Logan impressing the coaches enough to get some reps with the ones. This is what he had to say after practice today.
It was very fun. It was fun and exciting. Once I got the first snap out the way, you know, all the jitters were gone. It was pretty much everything I expected. And I just went from there. Like I said, that first snap was going to a new atmosphere. It's something that you got to get used to. But once I got that first snap, I was like, you know, it's nothing but football from here. And I just know my assignment, just execute everything coach asked me to do.
I think one thing that Chip said was in the game, you were one of the guys who it didn't seem like you were a rookie out there. Did you feel like a rookie out there, or did it just feel like normal football?
I mean, it's football. You know, it's football. Hit the man in front of you. They dominate the man in front of you. That's my main thing. Every time I go out to play, even at practice, you know, I get mad when a guy get the best of me. I feel like I got blocked on a play. So the attitude I take at practice, the same way I approach a game. So when it comes to a game time, it's more easier to dominate or defeat the man in front of you because you work so hard in practice to beat the blocks.
And so from that first day, 3 weeks ago when you came here to now, where have you improved the most?
My first week of OTAs and minicamp, it was a struggle for me. The NFL, the scheme, the offensive line, they're faster, smarter. So I progressed from my OTAs to now is a big jump. Even my coach told me, shedding them blocks, getting off, running to the ball, just a lot of things that I didn't do during OTAs and minicamp, I improved on during camp, and that's what I've been working on to get better every day. And you see the improvement that I've been doing.
And what kind of feedback did you get after watching film?
Coach was very proud of the way I executed and the way I played. He said it doesn't surprise him because of the way I practice. You know, when I take the field, you know, I make mistakes, and got Isaac, Ted.
All right, that's Benny Logan, defensive tackle. Now, Earl Wolf is making his move. I think he played very well, apparently, on Friday in the preseason opener, and the Eagles want to see him get more reps, and the fifth-round draft pick from NC State is going to get them, and in fact has gotten them, playing with the ones today next to Patrick Chung at the safety spot. Wolf does not seem fazed at all by the promotion.
A little bit of that.
I feel like I do. I feel like I said, wherever the ball is, that's where I want to be. I'm not afraid of contact. I'd love to play the game of football, honestly.
Do you think that figured about into why maybe they elevated you to the ones today, because they see that in you and that's something they're trying to instill there?
Like I said, I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I just go with the flow, didn't ask any questions. It just, you know, came out here, you know, with a mentality that, you know, they're giving me this opportunity and I want to take full advantage of it.
But did you notice, like, there was maybe, like, a lack of, like, nastiness, I guess, on defense, like, in the game at all?
I said the ones didn't play, you know, it didn't play too long, so you really couldn't tell. I feel like, you know, as we play more, you'll be able to see what type of defense we are. But we will continue to get better as a whole defense.
How important is it to you that you stay, you know, it's one thing to get work with the ones, but how important is it to you that you stay there and don't let up?
You know, of course, it's pretty important, like I said, because I always go for the goal. You know, I started off running with the threes, kind of everywhere, you know, and like I said, today they gave me an opportunity to run with the ones. And I just continue to build on that. You know, even though I'm running with the ones, you know, even if, like I said, even next year, if I'm, you know, if I start with the ones, like I said, I'll always continue to get better. You know, even though I'm running with the ones right now with this team, I always want to be, my goal is to be the best safety in the NFL. So, like I said, my goal is just continue to get better every day, you know, learn from my mistakes and, you know, take it from there.
So what kind of feedback?
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Is this staff giving you?
About
the way you're playing.
The way I'm playing, honestly, I didn't really hear too much. You know, a couple of the older guys told me they felt like I had a great game. You know, and that's honestly, you know, that's very important to me. Honestly, man, when Patrick Chung came up to me after the game, well, after he watched film, like, Earl, you know, you had a pretty good game. Just keep building on it. You know, it just gives you even more confidence. You know, just to know that you can come out and play on this level, but coming straight out of college is, you know, pretty big to me.
And now you said that you had that chip on your shoulder, so to speak. How is it that you just don't think of yourself as a fifth-round pick. Most fifth-round picks just come here. It's like they're trying to make the team. You're lining up with the first team already.
Yeah, like I said, I know I can be a great safety in this league. I feel like I was a great safety in college, like I said, even though I went in the fifth round, I still look at myself as I could have went in the first or second. Honestly, I was watching for that first and that second day, possibly hoping that I went that day, because I felt like, talent-wise, I can play on that level. So,
so in your mind, you're at that talent level.
Yes, sir.
Should we read into anything that you were out there with the first team? Do you think you might start there Thursday night?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I'll just see Thursday. Wherever they put me, like I said, I'll come out and, play my game.
All right, that is Earl Wolf, one of the rookies being promoted. And again, four rookies really prominent in the Eagles' plans already in this preseason. Lane Johnson starting at the right tackle position. Zach Ertz getting a lot of reps at tight end. And then we see now Logan getting the reps with the starters on the defensive line, and Earl Wolf getting the reps as the starter in the defensive secondary. All right, Michael Vick meeting the media today. Had a good game on Friday. We'll back up Nick Foles on Thursday night. What's the quarterback number 7 have to say today?
That's awesome. How are things different for you this week than they were last week?
Things are pretty much the same. Come out with the same concept, trying to get better each and every day. Not take any snaps for granted. Put your best foot forward each and every day, and treat every snap like it's your last. That's my mentality.
How much difference does it make whether you start or you back up and come in? You're the second quarterback in this game.
I'm just coming to play. I'm coming to have fun. I'm coming to lead the team, regardless of who I'm out there with. I'm coming out to try to be the best that I can be, and that's all you can do in this situation. Of this caliber, and it's not a bad thing at all. We're all here to play football. We're all here to try to be the best that we can be and as consistent as we can be, and these games will bring something out of you.
You would like to play against the number one, though, wouldn't you? I don't know how much Nick's going to play and you're going
to
play.
It would be great to play with the ones, but hey, I got to deal with the situation that I'm dealt with, and I'm going to prepare and put myself in the best situation possible to try to succeed, and not only myself but the guys around me. I got to take care of them and got to show that I have confidence in them, and I do.
How much will this game make or break either of you?
I think we just have to go out there and play, try to perform. It's not about worrying about what your placement is going to be after this game. I think if you try to do that, then things are not going to flow for you. You got to let it happen naturally, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's all in God's plan.
Mike, Clay Harbor's getting some work at receiver. I don't know if you had an opportunity to throw to him at all today or yesterday.
Yeah, I have. It's been different. It's a sudden change for Clay, abrupt, but he'll make the most of it. We just got to teach him how to play the receiver position, which is not easy. It's almost like starting all over within the playbook, but I think he'll do a great job as time goes on.
It's probably going to be the next two games which is going to decide who the starter is. Do you worry about yourself trying to do too much, to show too much, because you know that the time's limited in the game?
Well, I think my resume speaks for itself. I think I just got to continue to work on the little things. I've been playing the game for a long time, and we all have our own opinions about preseason, but I'm taking it serious, as of right now. And, I'm not worried about, the playing time or what's going to happen. I'm worried about the snaps that I get when I'm in.
Mike, are you expecting a faster pace when you're in there this week? When you were in there on Friday, the tempo was slower than it was later on, and it seemed by design that way.
Yeah, we slowed it down a little bit, but it's good to have the ability to do that whenever you need to at your discretion. But who knows? We don't know what the game plan is or what coach is going to want. When you say tempo it up, we tempo it up. Slow it down, we slow it down.
Mike, on plays when you have a run-pass option, what are you looking for out of the defense before making your decision on what to do?
I'm sorry, but I can't enlighten you on how I get through the progression of that. But if it's an opportunity to hand it off, I hand it off. If it's an opportunity to throw it, I would. But you just got to be smart in situations like that. I mean, the run game, it's not that complicated, but it can be. And you just got to key the right defender and make sure that you put yourself in a position to make the play at all times.
Does the offense seem like there might be more than just one favorable opportunity for the quarterback, and then therefore you kind of have to choose?
We got options. I mean, it's a lot of options. There's a lot of things that we can do to make this offense work and make it go. I think you just have to be in tune with what's going on and understand, you know, the reasons why the play is being called. You do that, you get a jump, and you're ahead of the curve.
Mike, there are more route options for the receivers in this offense than there were in Andy's. How does that impact on you as a quarterback and your need to be the communication level with your receivers?
I think you just gotta play the game. You know, you gotta play the game the best that you can, and you know, it's guys, you know, different concepts. You know, they're going to different places. And you just got to make sure you see them. Make sure you got to know what defenders are around them and how to get the ball to them. And ball placement is very important. And I honestly hope I answered your question.
I think Belichick said that. Belichick said that throw was the touchdown throw was as good as a ball can be thrown. But throughout camp, you feel that your passes have consistently been how you want them in terms of placement and.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get better, you know, even at the age of 33 and being in the league 12 years, you know, trying to get better with my accuracy, trying to be better with my ball placement and, you know, just trying to be a better quarterback. I mean, I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to come out here every day. I appreciate the game of football. You know, I'm thankful for the talents that I have and most importantly, you know, the teammates that I have. You know, who give me an opportunity to thrive in certain situations. So, you know, I'm very humble just to be playing the game, man. And you know, I take it serious, and you know, I know I'm still a work in progress, and I'm gonna keep working.
Good work for the Eagles in the community on Monday at practice at the Novacare Complex. They were hosting some. Throw together at the Eagles training camp practice, and some of those people at practice prior to the workout and then also after the workout getting some autographs from players and visiting with some Eagles. So a really good opportunity for them. As you can see, DeSean Jackson very interested in making some of these kids smile. The Tears program combines children from West Philadelphia and the police officers that serve them together to work on team-building activities to promote a better relationship between the police force and the community. Good work for the Eagles, reaching out, taking some time with the kids and with some police officers on Monday at the NovaCare Complex. Yeah, Nick Foles, that's the way to make some kids happy and make this a memorable day for everyone. LeSean McCoy getting in on the action as well. And that will do it for us today. Inside Training Camp returns tomorrow, of course, 3 o'clock. Make sure you stick with us tonight. We've got our Eagles update for you. Again, some movement on this not-set-in-stone depth chart, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Dave Spadaro with you. Thanks for joining us on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.